This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:15 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Cam. And we started off the show today by talking about, is political exhaustion a fair way to put it, Cam?
Yeah. Exhaustion, good word.
Okay. So we started off by talking about that and, you know, really asking or checking in on how we're all feeling because of all the twists and turns and flips and flops and all the rest of it that we've been seeing. And we've been asking you for your thoughts. Again, if you'd like to send them through, you can, of course, call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. And we do have some messages. So first of all, we have this from Suan
says, the people are tired of Malaysian politicians who are fighting for their own survival rather than for the lives of the common folk who are suffering, especially for those in Sabah and Sarawak who are struggling on economic and health issues. My heart and my head is screaming for a government who take their oaths seriously, serve the people, grow the economy, govern with clean hands and clean hearts, stop the selfishness. The rakyat are suffering. And I promise that that was a message that was sent in, and it wasn't just me ranting.
It's not, what's the word when you say, I have a friend who has a problem? I think that certainly that's something a lot of us can relate to, right? And I think it also speaks to this question of what our relationship is to politicians. And when I say our, I just mean the people. You know, when we look at politicians, what do we see or who do we see? What role do they play? Because I think that Suan has hit the nail on the head in terms of the role that they should be playing, you know, serving the people, governing with clean hands and clean hearts. But the truth is that that's not necessarily what we see in daily discourse.
Yeah, and also, I mean, if we go back to the last general election, doesn't matter who you voted for, you were not voting for this. And it's a real shock. It's kind of one of those shocks that isn't a shock. I don't know what those are called. And it's a great disappointment. So it doesn't matter who you voted for, who you were aligned with. I don't think this situation pleases anybody.
We also have a nameless WhatsApp message that came in saying, pusing, pusing, lagi pusing. The good thing is that I'm seeing clearly how many tricks there are in politics, with friends becoming enemies and enemies becoming collaborators. Now, this I think is interesting because it's not necessarily as new as the rest of it. We have seen this in the past.
You say how many tricks there are in politics. I thought I'd seen all those tricks, but no, there are new tricks. It's really quite surprising. And we're going to be seeing a lot more in subsequent, well, days, perhaps.
I would think in the next 2 weeks, it's going to be quite a busy period. Just closing off on, we got messages from Ron, Maggie and Ridzwan, all of which I'm using words like this. So Ron says utterly disgusted. Maggie says geram. Ridzwan says fatigued, frustrated, fed up. And again, I'm just reading this not necessarily because... Is it cathartic? It feels cathartic. It does.
Yeah, it's good to know that you're not alone. We did not get any messages from anybody saying, oh, no, this is exactly the way I want it to be. It was quite a consensus here. And it's good to know that you're not alone.
No one dreamt that 2020 would be like this. I think this is also a theme that we keep coming back to. And just to say that we are going to be speaking after the 7:30 news with Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Institute on, I guess, you know, the theme of the day, which is that we saw a lot of shifts occurring over the weekend, but they really began on Friday, when it appeared, at least after a cabinet meeting, that there was going to be this push for a declaration of some form of a state of emergency.
Yeah, it came as a shock to me. Emergency by Saturday, though, things had changed. The Federal Territories Minister asked critics to provide alternatives to the emergency. And it moved on to issues about for them to keep the budget vote that they wanted, and to have a pause on political squabbles, which is understandable given the Sabah COVID situation. But the Argong to discuss the cabinet suggestions with other rulers and calling for a calm in a press conference.
Yes, and then on Sunday, we saw the Malay rulers concluding a special meeting at about 2, and subsequently, we saw a rejection of the proposal for a state of emergency. That was, I think, a press release that we saw in the evening, and then subsequently, there were more gatherings of the, of senior politicians to regroup and to see what's happening, and that brings us right up to today.
So the Prime Minister held a special cabinet meeting at 11:30 a.m. purportedly to discuss the decision by the rulers not to declare a state of emergency. Prior to the cabinet meeting, Muhyiddin had met party chiefs from his PN pact at the Prime Minister's office, including PAS and President PAS Hari Awang and the MIC chief as well.
So yes, that brings us to today. And I think what we wanted to talk about after this was really the political impact of all this, right? Because there's a lot to pass here. I mean, it's not usually, it ran against convention, I think, what has occurred. But the other thing is also, so this was a gambit that did not appear to have worked out, but what could be next, you know, and what might the potential, how might it look? How is it going to be presented to us all? I think that there remain these questions about the uncertainty over the next few days, too.
The majority from the, do we still call it PN government, razor thin already. Mm. Any defections would be disastrous, but at the same time, defect to where? I don't even know what the opposition is these days, but there is one. And I've never experienced a crisis quite like this. I cannot think of an occasion, certainly in my lifetime, when this has been the case and where the ramifications are so uncertain.
Especially because I think it is focused around the budget, right? I mean, the budget is where we are expecting all these things to come to a head. It is something that has come up in all the press statements, this idea of, well, you know, the budget is a priority because we need to be able to ensure that frontliners are given the financial support that they need, that the rakyat has the financial support that we need to get through this. And so I think the fact that it's centering around that is really fascinating because it also opens up this question of, again, to go back to that phrase, politicking. It's a question now of balancing the self-interest, I think, of politicking and the power struggle alongside the very, very real contentions that might occur if the budget truly does not pass.
And also it's with a particular set of cards that have been dealt. It's as if there are so many players out there waiting for the ace of spades to come up. But the problem is the ace of spades has actually been taken out of the pack. So no one can ever complete the set. And I cannot really imagine what some of the sets would be. Well, the last thing I heard was Datuk Seri Anwar Ibrahim talking about perhaps suddenly making friends with UMNO, top UMNO people. This is quite shocking. Very surprising. If that combination is possible, then who knows what other combinations are possible?
Well, this is also coming. Just, you know, we gave a little bit of a rundown of the timeline of the emergency, but this really goes back over months now. I mean, we have been seeing the fractures and the lines showing in terms of this alliance, which was always fragile at best, right? Like right from the beginning, that was something that has come up from the start at this idea of this is a coming together of parties, but they may soon be at odds. And we saw that show up time and time again in by-elections, in state elections. So this isn't exactly fresh news in the sense that these conflicts have been somewhat played out in public. We have seen fracturings even within UMNO itself.
Well, yes. No, I can't help thinking that if I was writing this as a film script, this was a work of fiction, and then I would say, and then we'll set it in a pandemic. And I don't know if that would be a straight-to-video in the Sharknado kind of genre.
Or, yes, Cam, it would.
Or if it might be an Oscar-winning kind of, you know, Francis Ford Coppola kind of thing. I can't decide. We're going to have to find out the next few weeks.
Yeah, it depends on the cast. I think much of it depends on the cast.
We've got to get Meryl Streep in there somewhere.
All things are possible. That's never been truer than in 2020, by the way. So we are going to be examining this non-declaration of a state of emergency in a little more detail after the 7:30 news. And joining us for that is going to be Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Institute. But we'd love to hear from you. I mean, do you have any questions about what happened? Do you have any questions about what might happen next, for that matter? And also just, you know, if you're too tired to participate in that, tell us why. You can call us at 7733 2900. You can, of course, also WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
It's 7:36 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Cam. And as mentioned earlier, we're talking now, or diving into, I guess, the political nitty-gritty of what occurred or did not occur over the weekend, which is, well, we did not get the declaration of a state of emergency, even though that was what was proposed by Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin to the Yang di-Pertuan Agong. So if you have any questions or any thoughts on this, you can send them through. Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're crossing over now to Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Institute. Bridget, thank you for speaking with us. So, I guess the question of the hour, what do you make of the moves that happened over the weekend?
I think it's important to kind of disaggregate what's happened. There, first of all, we see this high-stakes gambit that Muhyiddin had engaged in terms of calling this cabinet decision last Friday. It involved, you know, politicizing the media, basically bringing in administrative departments into kind of galvanizing support for the emergency. And I think it really was an example of the use of the levers of power that he had at his disposal, which was perceived by many as a sign of weakness, not strength. Huh? And I think it was something, a reactive move that really did not help Muhyiddin both to build legitimacy and also to be effectively address some of the problems that he politically is facing. We also saw over the weekend really a very interesting and important political and public contestation about the nature of the political system in Malaysia, where we saw a lot of open calls for democracy to be protected and by a whole range of people. And it wasn't just on the issues of democracy. People were talking about the role of the economy, even discussions about COVID-19. And I think this was a quite healthy, robust development. We also saw at the same time the media that is linked to the government try to hold the government line to control the narrative, which they were not as successful in doing as they might have been in the past. So this was an important kind of development in the in terms of how people began to shape the discussion in very meaningful ways, particularly a tone also against all the politicians. But I think it's still a very important dimension. And then, of course, we had the important royal decision, which I would say was a balancing act in a very unbalanced situation. It attempted to support the Muhyiddin government, but at the same time to not support the emergency declaration. And it, in doing so, it protected the democratic institutions, and it aimed to put pressure on the move towards better policies and better governance, especially addressing the COVID-19 situation. But in the context of Malaysia, you know, how these things are perceived and politicized and polarized, I think that the substance is not necessarily, it does not percolate and resonate the same way among different segments of the society. And what we've seen today and since last night is a bit of reaction to the dust settling on these sets of developments. And of course, the politics and the politicking is still continuing in quite intensive ways.
And focusing on one of the earlier points you made about Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, what do you make of his position at the moment, given that there have been talks about him possibly resigning?
Well, I would say it's pretty clear that Muhyiddin Yassin's prime ministership is in deep trouble. He doesn't have the numbers to form a majority in parliament. And at the same time, the decision to push for a cabinet of an emergency in his cabinet also divided some of his own cabinet members. And I think so. In fact, he's become came out in a weaker position. And politically, people who opposed the emergency rule also came out, particularly from UMNO. So I think, in a sense, we see a situation where his leadership is facing a very serious situation. And I think it is clear that on the night after the decision, there were rumors that he would was considering resigning, and I think in part because this is an emotional reaction, emotional decision. His ministers went to his house to try to stop him from resigning, and subsequently we've seen in the course of today an attempt to try to find a strategy out of a very difficult situation and out of the fact of the matter that he lost a gambit, a very high-stake gambit, of which he's alienated people in the process to be able to get the majority that he needs. And I think this is a very difficult situation, and the issues of resignation are still on the table, but it's clearly one of many different options that are being considered and looked at as the cabinet meets, as well as they try to position the situation, not only in terms of governance, but also themselves moving forward. And it's important to kind of step back and to sort of see what's happening here. You know, we talk about these stories in the conversation about a Muhyiddin or different members of UMNO or others. And I think what we have is a very serious national leadership crisis. We have a situation where parties are having a hard time adjusting to coalition politics and putting aside personal differences to focus on problem solving. And we also have political parties themselves that are very divided and fragmented. So we see a lot of what's happening in UMNO, the different opinions of different leaders and how they position themselves, for example, reflect the differences they have within their own party about the UMNO's leadership, for example. So these multiple sets of different issues are really conflating together at points of crisis, really adding for tremendous drama but uncertainty. And even when calls for politicking are made, the underlying systemic problems exist that are not being resolved that push back the situation towards intensive politicking.
So do the developments over the past few days give an indication as to who actually holds the majority in Parliament right now, or perhaps the negotiations that are ongoing among different political parties?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that no one holds the majority, or else they'd be saying that they hold the majority. But on the other hand, if they say it and then they don't have it the next day, then their credibility is seriously affected. So I think what is happening right now is that we're seeing a situation where the majority that people are trying to configure different responses. So initially, the focus has been on whether or not Muhyiddin maintains his own political base. And so this is, he has to deal with some of his differences, even within his own party. And of course, most important of which, how he has to deal with what differences in support from different parts of UMNO. I think that there have been no other alternative leaders within UMNO and others that have pushed for a clear position, an alternative position. This is being discussed, and I think it will not necessarily be resolved immediately because everyone is responding to the events that happened less than 24 hours ago. I would also say that even within the opposition, Anwar and many members of the Pakatan Harapan parties, they're also responding to the environment and the different conditions. So we've seen different responses. For example, some parties have come out and said that they would really work on the confidence and supply bill, but they've made provisions. For example, a statement that said, oh, as long as you don't have these people. And so the politics still is cut into the personalities, as opposed to the policies or the programs or, most important of all, the people.
You mentioned earlier about how the general public has responded to this. And in recent weeks, there's been a lot of anger toward politicians from the public who feel that politicians are prioritizing their own interests over the task of fighting the pandemic. Does this factor into what we can expect to happen next?
I think we have to disaggregate this also. There, first of all, Malaysians are growing and a very demanding electorate. They have become increasingly demanding. And what we can see during this period of crisis is a large group of people who want common sense politics. They want solutions. They want good governance. They want use of science. They want clear standards that are being applied across the board equally without double standards, and that they're speaking out about it. And when there has been a gap between what politicians do and the standards that people expect, this has become fed frustrations and increasing anger. And we can see that anger on social media. At the same time, Malaysian politics is highly personalized. And so much of this anger is targeted on individuals. So people's reputations are attacked and others on aspects of behavior because it's easy to do that. And it's also because the way its politics is often highly personalized and framed. And so we have these two reinforcing dynamics an evolving demanding electorate interested in better governance and highly personalized politics, which feeds a kind of large discourse that is actually highly personalized and negative about politicians. And it goes to the larger issue, is that the leaders are failing what people are expecting. As a result of that, this anger is growing. And it's coming at a time when, most Malaysians, and almost all Malaysians in some form, are facing a very difficult circumstances that this country has never faced before to the same degree. A health crisis, an economic crisis that are reinforcing, and a political crisis. And the politicians were expected to do much more than they're doing. And as a result, we see these frustrations growing. And, this is not the first time. The politicking of February happened and you saw COVID-19 start to increase at that time. Now we have another situation where focusing on political elite politics has contributed to the third wave growing in a very big way. And it's happened at the same time after months of economic hardship and uncertainty that continues. So there are genuine and important reasons that are being laid out and are occurring that are actually fueling some of this anger. And in all of this, the governments are not putting out a clear plans to address these issues. And I think this is where some of the frustration is growing, because they want to people want some sort of reaction that is actually based on a kind of solving the problems that they're facing, and they feel completely left out of what is happening now because this has largely been an elite game, an elite politicking process. What was interesting about the weekend is that in some ways the people's interests were much more incorporated than they had been previously, and unfortunately, as we've seen happen so far today, again it's moved back to again an elite positioning, which is actually still highly frustrating and fuels a lot of the same anger we've been discussing.
Now, in the palace's press statement, there was an emphasis on stopping the politicking. Can we expect to see a true ceasefire?
No. I think that the problem is that many of these elites continue to have a sense of political entitlement. And they continue to see the actions that they're carrying out as being within the purview of what they can do. And there has been, to a certain degree, this reflects longer processes in Malaysian politics where the elites, do not fundamentally put the interests of the people first. They put their own interests very much at the table. And for some of the individuals, they think that they couch this in terms of that they're helping the country. And in some cases, some of the policies do, but most of them do. Most of the things that are actually helping are actually a product of team efforts of administration, of of larger features that about the system as opposed to the specific individuals. I think there have been times in the recent history where, for example, when Muhyiddin came into office, he was given a lot of goodwill by some, but especially when he began to focus on the economy and COVID-19. And when those issues began to have run into problems, that's where his legitimacy became challenged. And of course, he became caught up in the politicking. And of course, he paid a part in that as well, of which we see most recently where this gambit in terms of emergency rule decision in cabinet was part and parcel of that. And I think when these politicians get caught up into this process, then the impact has been that this has been created further alienation from the end. And the reality is that given the fact that there is no majority, it is a fragmented coalition system. There is a need to make some sort of compromises. The politicking will go on. The question now is whether or not that the form of politicking will move away from what's in it for me to a situation of how can we get through this problem and how can we get through this crisis. And I think this is a very interesting development. In the last day, we've seen some suggestions of how to move forward. I think the idea of having a confidence and supply bill to beginning to move towards what I would call a discussion in parliament of where the opposition plays an important policy-making role in a collaborative way, such as in areas of talking about sets of policies for in return for things that are not directly in the interest of the opposition, but in the interest of the public, such as, for example, the constituency allocation for all members of parliament. And this is something that is very important for rural members of parliament, for example. And if you're in opposition, then those communities get hurt, for example. So I think that there are some areas for common ground that have nothing to do with the party's interests and more to do with strengthening the way the institutions work. And if we see the possibility of having these sets of negotiations that are around policy and reform, then I think we have a very important trajectory that can move forward. The creation of a shadow cabinet, policy discussions. Now, whether or not the politicians can get to that, I still think it's a pretty high bar. But these discussions are starting, and I think this is something quite positive.
This is all happening 2 weeks before the budget announcement is supposed to take place. Will the announcement itself be impacted by this?
Well, first of all, I think that the focus on the budget was in part an attempt to try by the current government to try to strengthen their hand, saying, oh, we really need this for the budget. In fact, supplemental bills have been passed across the different period of time. The budget as a budget has become less important from a perspective of buddy bills compared to the past in Malaysia. There are many different mechanisms that could be put in place. This doesn't mean that the budget isn't important. It is. But I would also say that there are other bills are equally important, and particularly a long-term recovery plan that has buy-in and ownership for and cooperation that lays out what are some of the structural issues for the economy is, in my view, if not more important than a budget. I think the budget, however, is supposed to be introduced on the 6th of November, and then it takes a process of minimally three weeks to go through the different allocations and discussions. It is clear in the next 2 weeks if the leadership crisis and somewhat resolves itself or transforms itself, which may also happen, there still is the need to reach some sort of compromise and have the numbers to get this through. My sense is that when it comes to relief measures and targeting different aspects for the economy, you're going to find tremendous common ground. The concerns may be in other elements of the budget, which are involved issues of unclear allocations. These may become question marks, where like, why is the spending on this particular company or action and others? And I think that devils are always in the details in terms of aspects of the budget. And I think this budget will face greater transparency calls, and I think this is a positive thing. But at the same time, It's also going to be very important to understand that this budget was going to be used as a tool to kind of build support for the government. And I think that there are questions that are going to be asked about which money should be spent how and where the targets and priorities should be. So I think that what we're going to see is the parliament become a stronger institution to discuss these things. And the question will be whether or not the government of the day allows itself to be able to put itself to that scrutiny. And I think that this is something that they're not used to doing. But the fact of the matter is that the policy discussions to address the problems that Malaysia are facing are actually extraordinarily important, both in the economy and with COVID-19. And I think that I see this potential development as something that is highly constructive moving forward.
Bridget, as always, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Institute, speaking to us about politics. She was talking to us about Malaysian politics over the weekend, and we've been asking you for your thoughts, and we thought it would be nice to finish with this one anonymous message.
The message says, I was rather stunned by some people's reaction to the threat of emergency being declared when I raised my worries to them. They assured me that it would be okay since it's applicable only to the economy. If it hadn't been for checking the news and BFM's broadcast, for a moment there, I would have thought I was getting paranoid, overreacting to the very word emergency, because I was there during the May 13th. But what saddened and worried me further was that we do have a lot of the rakyat who thought lightly of the PM's recent actions, not bothering to check on the serious implication it had on our rights. Such permissiveness is what keeps me awake at night, not the COVID pandemic.
Yeah, I thought there was a lot in there that was really wise. To the theme of our show, right, I suppose, this idea of exhaustion or even confusion, I think that those are very helpful emotions for people who may want to assure you that things are fine when they are not. So, you know, I think that this message kind of exemplifies that.
Well, because the word emergency, it means something in this country that it doesn't mean in other countries. And yet it was being put over as if this was like emergency light. You know, don't worry about this one. This one's got no sugar, and it'll not actually do anything to you. It'll just do something to other things, but not you. You know, carry on about your business. But it's got the word emergency, and I'm sorry, in this country, that means something.
Yeah. So thank you very much for sending in that message. And it's likely that we're going to see more of this in the coming days or week. And we'll be right here, you know, covering it alongside. We are about to head to the 8 o'clock news, after which we're going to be back for football, Monday Night Football. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.